You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. There are many shades in the sight loss spectrum, but one thing guaranteed to happen to almost everyone is presbyopia. As we get older, around 45 for most people, our eyes will lose the elasticity needed to focus on close objects. For many of us, the only way to correct this is by using progressive lenses. However, a team of engineers have now created a prototype for autofocal lenses. To discuss their work, I'm now joined by Stanford graduates Nitish Padmanabhan and Robert Conrad, who wrote the paper on autofocal lenses published in the journal Science Advances. How are you both doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Excellent, thank you. Now, before we get into your incredible work, can you define what presbyopia is and who it can affect?
Sure. So presbyopia is a condition that affects pretty much all humans and actually all primates as they age. And what it really is a stiffening of the crystalline lens in your eye. And when this lens stiffens, the muscles around it can no longer bend it into different shapes. And so you lose the ability to refocus. With today's technology, there's no way to reverse it.
Now, to correct this, people generally wear bifocal lenses or progressive lenses. Why aren't these good enough?
So progressive lenses and bifocal lenses, they limit your field of view. So if you wanted to see everything that's close to you sharply, you can't, because you can only look at the bottom half in the bifocal lenses, or even an even smaller, like say bottom quarter or so of a progressive lens. So you're going to need to do a lot more head motions. If you're trying to focus it somewhere in the middle, then you have a tiny, tiny channel in which you can focus. And so it becomes a lot harder to do tasks that require precise focus with a lot of field of view to look at.
Now, obviously, all that is changing. You have developed a prototype. What was the genesis of the idea for the autofocal lenses?
A lot of our research in the last couple of years has focused mainly on supporting focus cues in virtual reality displays. And we've gained a lot of expertise understanding the visual system and how the visual system refocuses. And we eventually were able to transfer a lot of that knowledge, develop a more practical solution to a more serious problem in presbyopia in the real world. So we were able to transfer a lot of our knowledge and technology from these VR applications and solutions to this kind of presbyopia correcting solution.
Now, I understand your team was not the first to work on this idea. What makes your prototype different?
So the biggest difference between our prototype and what people have done before us is that we're the first to, at least publicly, include eye tracking in autofocal or automatic type correction lenses. And this is really important, because if you don't have eye tracking, then you're relying on slightly less optimal ways of predicting where someone's trying to look, like, you know, which direction their head is pointing. And so by using eye trackers, we can actually try to figure out what exact object they're looking at, even if it's not what's directly in front of them.
Robert, you mentioned virtual reality a second ago. Tell me about your prototype. I understand it looks a little bit like virtual reality glasses.
Yeah, so the reason we ended up using a form factor kind of like these VR displays was to ensure that the headset was stable on the head for user study purposes. So we wanted to get the most accurate data that we could to thoroughly evaluate our system compared to bifocal lenses and another presbyopia correction called monovision. So that's the current form factor it's in now, but that was just for user study purposes. Ideally, if this were to be commercialized, it wouldn't look like that. It would look much more similar, just a pair of bifocal lenses that you would get from your optometrist.
And how has the evaluation process gone, and are you still testing?
We've finished most of the evaluation for the paper that we just published, but we could plan on continuing this work. So we will be probably making a new prototype at some point and retesting how good it is for various tasks again.
Tell me about some of the results that came out of the study for your paper.
So we compared our autofocal system against two popular forms of presbyopia correction in progressive lenses and monovision. And we found that autofocals outperforms progressives and monovision on a variety of quantitative and qualitative metrics.
It really sounds like an amazing development. If all goes well, what will the next steps for autofocal lenses be?
We're currently just working on developing the next prototype, evaluating it in different conditions. So right now we were testing it inside of a lab. clearly that isn't a natural scenario for many users. So we want to miniaturize the prototype and get it on people's heads to do more thorough evaluations of this type of device in real world environments. So someone driving, for example, walking around. One other thing we didn't mention regarding progressive lenses is that people that wear progressive lenses, because of the distortions in the visual field, are actually at a higher risk of falling than those that don't wear them. So we'd like to evaluate autofocus specifically in that kind of metric, against that metric, and see if we can potentially help people remain more stable while using these autofocals.
Stability is a brilliant factor that you've raised there, and it is something that, of course, can affect a number of our listeners. It sounds like an amazing idea, guys. How long will it be before autofocal lenses are commercially available?
That's a good question. There are a lot of technological challenges that have to be addressed. Everything has to be miniaturized. It has to last on your, at the battery life, because there's a lot of tech now in these glasses. You can imagine that it would, require a good amount of energy and power to actually be able to support this for an extended period of time. So I think there's a lot of challenges in miniaturizing such a display or such a headset, but it is possible. The timeline, it's hard for us to say. We're, researchers, we're not necessarily in the commercial space, but I'm sure someone will be able to pick this up.
And if our listeners would like to find out more about you or your work, where can they go?
Best place to go is probably our group website, so computationalimaging.org. And on there, you can find a link to a longer version of our paper and also all our other papers that our lab works on.
Excellent. Robert Conrad and Nitish Padmanabhan, Stanford graduates and authors of the paper on autofocal lenses, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio.